Welcome to Intimacy Today. I am your host, Dr. Sheena Glover, and I am a licensed psychologist that really loves understanding the intricacies of relationships. And today, we are going to be focusing on what it's like to be the person who is single and has just come across a potential match who happens to be in an open relationship. So I want to set the scene. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're on a dating site and you have finally matched with someone that you're really attracted to. And as you guys start to slowly build up a connection over messaging, you notice how much you overlap in your hobbies, your activities, and just similar interests. And just before you guys decide to go and make this a official plan for a date, you learn that this individual is currently in a relationship, and specifically an open relationship, and they really want to be transparent with you. They don't want to give you any mixed messages. Now, we can't stop our reactions, and there is a lot of mixed reactions. Some might find this to be really curious, others might find it confusing, and other times it can be a grounds for having a guarded reaction. I have invited Dr. Catherine Redd to the conversation, as she, not only a close friend and colleague, she also specializes in relational work. She works with individuals who are looking to do the preliminary work of addressing how they show up in relationships and how that contributes to some of the dysfunctions that they might see in their everyday relationships. So much for coming on the show.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
Given that you work in individual therapy with adults with trauma, I can imagine that you've come across different relationship experiences with a lot of your clients. And one of the things I'm really curious about is, based on the kind of the scenario where you match with a guy or a girl, and before you even get to the date, they tell you that they're in an open relationship, what was your immediate reaction to that?
It's definitely an immediate reaction that I would discuss with my clients, is definitely to give themselves time, right? Unless there's a level of self-awareness, right? There, you may know immediately, and nah, this isn't for me at all. Mm-hmm. But if there's a semblance of curiosity and there's already a connection between you and the other person, and you're on the fence of, do I go there or do I not? I would really encourage giving yourself time, as well as kind of exploring what your ideas are around polyamorous relationships. What's your knowledge? What do you know about it? And truly be honest with you, because it's less so about the other person, more so about what am I interested in? What's my capacity to be connected to someone who's also connected to other people and in various ways? And how do I truly feel about that?
You know, one of the things when I think of time, giving yourself time, I mm-hmm. think that there has to be information gathering mm-hmm. and kind of understanding this world about open relationship or polyamory. And for the audience, the difference largely is that within an open relationship, the individual has a primary relationship, but they are able to have multiple relationships with others, whether it be sexual or romantic. And then in a polyamory relationship is the belief that you can deeply connect with another person, multiple people at a time. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, you know, if you were to come across a client that was in this situation saying, hey, Dr. Red, I just matched with someone. And they tell me that I am in an open relationship or open marriage or in a polyamory, I guess, what would be some of the things that you would try to help them to kind of unpack and learn as they're going slow in deciding?
First thing is, what is your dating? What are your preferences? Really connecting to who are you and what do you truly expect and want out of a relationship? And do you have different ideas and versions of that thing? Depending on where you are in your life, you can have different perspectives. So for me, I would, within that therapeutic context, I would do a lot of unpacking and, well, what are your expectations when you think of relationship versus when you think of dating versus when you think of marriage, and spending time on flipping through the layers that comes with that. Because it could look differently from person to person. And if you definitely having conversations about defining infidelity, right? Within this conversation about polyamorous, a lot of, there's this underlying context of, is it infidelity? Ooh, are you simply giving someone permission to be unfaithful, and you're going through this cognitive dissonance, right? To say that it's okay. So that would be a huge conversation to have within that context, because if you really believe it, I can't control my partner, so I'm simply going to allow them to do what they want. Or if that's the approach, then I would want to unpack that a little bit more. And of course, talk about, well, how do you set boundaries? Like, how do you stay? Do you go? What do you do? And explore that. But if that's not your perspective and you truly believe that you are, as human beings, you are capable of loving multiple people, and you do garner different, things based different aspects of who you are, right? So let's say, for example, you're an avid reader and you thrive. There's a part of you that thrives from information gathering, and you meet a partner who is, who matches that. That connection can be so deep and fulfilling. You may not get that from someone else. The other person hates traveling. I mean, loves traveling, but they hate reading. That can be another part of yourself. So there are different ways that people conceptualize connection, connecting to someone else. So exploring that, I think, is really important, so that the client has a really clear understanding of what their perceptions are when it comes to dating and what they're looking for.
You know, I think you bring up a really good point about the betrayal, because so many people believe, there are so many people that don't understand like polyamory relationships or open relationship, that it is just cheating. And that is such a departure from what this particular community is all about, which is, especially in the polyamory relationship, as well as open marriage, that you can have deeper relationship, more fulfilling relationship with multiple people, as well as, say, in the open marriage, you have this primary relationship that deepens because you've exercised your marriage in a way that doesn't look like the standard. And I think that we get really caught up in like stereotypes of this illusion. And I guess, you know, off the top of your head, how would you go about helping them to debunk this idea that this is just infidelity?
What is infidelity? Is it the betrayal? Is it the fact that you didn't know the information? What is infidelity? I mean, I think that's a great question. Yeah, that's a great start. A lot of times, like, do you think infidelity is the act of having sexual intimacy with someone? Is it a conversation? Is it an emotional connection? We have this general consensus that men care more about the sexual nature of infidelity and women care more about the emotional connection, right? And whether or not that's true, like, what do you really want to, what do you really believe when it comes to infidelity? And is it the betrayal itself, the fact that you didn't know and you were mm-hmm. going along with your life on a day-to-day basis, and then this information that's pertinent to your relationship was withheld from you?
That's a good point. One of the things when I think of like infidelity, in that particular scenario where you're dating someone or not even dating, you're about to go on yeah. your first date. This, in that scenario, the person who is in that polyamory relationship wanted to make sure that they cleared the air. So made sure to create this level of expectation. And so mm-hmm. it is a really unique experience of, say, betrayal, because infidelity naturally causes the feeling of betrayal for a lot of people. So I guess, how would you go about unpacking betrayal if the person that you just, before you go on your first date, was very honest and told you, hey, this is the kind of relationship that I'm in, and I want to make sure that you're comfortable with this before we build anything. How do you process that as betrayal?
In the realm of online dating, it really is based off of the profile and the conversation that you two had prior to that very first date, right? If it says nowhere on the profile, on the individual's profile, that they are looking for someone who's open to an ethical, non-monogamous interaction or encounter, that in and of itself could be seen as a betrayal, because like your profile says one thing, but in reality, something completely different. Right? And then on the flip side, if you are someone who is in an open relationship, marriage, and when we use the term relationship, it's all encompassing, relationship and marriage, at least when I'm saying it. Creating a profile that's completely honest can be difficult. Because sometimes a lot of people will click that little red X. the moment they see ethically non-monogamous, they'll literally say next, right? Because there isn't enough information out there that defines what it is. And in addition to that, there is a whole host of misconception that says it's just another glorified way of making infidelity okay.
So. Yeah, so there's a risk on that. And I want to kind of like at least make note of the courage that it takes to be so transparent. Exactly. To say like, hey, this is who I am. This is the kind of relationship that I am looking for. And mm-hmm. that when you have all these kind of stereotypes or your own misinformation about a particular community, I think that it kind of invites a lot of rejection within this particular community.
It does.
And so, you know, something that comes to mind is people in using interchangeable word of polyamory and polygamy. And like for the audience, I think it's very important to like define it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So polyamory, for those who don't know, is a type of relationship where all partners involved have the ability to engage in a deeper, meaningful relationship with multiple people. and that there is mutual respect and consent. Whereas in polygamy relationship or polygamous relationship, it is most oftentimes hierarchical. There's an individual that has multiple spouses. It could be, and it's typically males who is the individual who have several wives, and that each partner in that polygamy dynamic is monogamous to the individual. Yeah. And so, why do you think it's so easy for people to assume like polyamory and polygamy is interchangeable?
Because I think there's more exposure to polygamy, that terminology, just based on different religions, different cultural practices, and even the show.
Sister wives,
right?
Yeah.
It opened it up so widely to the world that definition just it almost seems like people use it as an umbrella term that covers all relationships that practice some semblance of that. And so that's why it's really important to distinguish what is considered ethically non-monogamous versus what's considered an individual who has a capacity to, whether it's due to religious norms or their own personal beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. That I want to be in a relationship, in a marriage with multiple people, and I expect and demand that they're solely connected to me and me alone, mm-hmm. right? Versus I want to be in a relationship where it's a mutual thing, and my partner can go and do what they want as long as it falls within the boundaries that we have set together, and I can go out and explore myself as long as, again, it fits within the parameters that we have discussed. And it's a constant conversation that it evolves.
Mm-hmm. Well, that conversation evolving, you mentioned earlier, is the boundaries. Boundaries are absolutely important, especially if you are a single individual who's deciding to date another person and you have no idea anything about polyamory or open relationships. Like, there is a lot of power that comes with having conversations. Mm-hmm. And kind of creating an environment where it is both healthy and respectful for both people involved. And so, like, what are some boundaries do you think someone who is very brand new, if they're curious about exploring this relationship with a potential mate that has been involved in polyamory relationships?
I think the first thing is figuring out how much you want to know, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's extremely important for you to be aware of. How much information do you want to know in terms of what that person's relationship or relationships look like, right? And being honest with yourself, can I truly handle gaining all this information? Because there is a spectrum. You can choose to say, you know what, I believe that you're truly in a, because that's another part of it. You're believing the other individual. There's this trust thing that when you say you're in a polyamorous relationship, that you truly are, that you're not making it up, and that your partner truly is aware that you are dating someone else and you're exploring this emotional connection or relationship with the other person. So let's say all things are equal and you are telling the truth. As the person that's new to this, it's important for you to figure out and be honest within yourself. Do I want to know about their partner? And what do I want to know? Do I want to know their name? Do I want to know what they look like? Do I want to know what kind of relationship they're having? Do I want to know if they're sexually intimate with each other or if they're not? Do I want to know if the other person is am I the only person outside of their primary relationship? Or are they all, are there other individuals involved as well? How much do you want? And I think that's the main thing, because that can, that dictates what your capacity is within that dynamic.
Yeah.
And then you can explore and go from there. And if you're someone who doesn't want to know anything, you're like, okay, I hear you. Thank you. I only want to know what's going on between you and I, and that's it. Then you have a clear picture on how you're connecting with this other individual. But if you do, go ahead.
But that actually proposes a bit of a challenge, because if you know that this person is in a polyamory relationship, they're... Mm-hmm. There is consent across the board. There is knowledge and sharing. And so if the person that the individual who is single wanted to keep everything exclusive, meaning I don't want to know anything outside of us, mm-hmm. wouldn't you say that there's like a cause for maybe dilemmas for that individual?
For who? The person who practices polyamory, or the person who's single?
The person that's single.
Again, that's why the self-awareness piece is so important, right? You don't want to go into a situation that you may not emotionally be ready to handle. It's important to yet again explore, what is my capacity? Am I truly able to know that, okay, this, if it's a heterosexual relationship, this man is in a relationship with another woman, his wife, right? And how do I manage my expectations? Like when I call, how do I manage maybe he doesn't pick up, right? Or maybe how do I manage we only see each other once a week? And truly, I wouldn't recommend going into a situation like this if you don't have the capacity to manage those expectations.
And I don't think it's just expectations. I think also there's this big feeling called jealousy that would come, and that deep sense of insecurity that would come whenever, you know, the person that you selected is with other partners.
And
that's the big piece of the emotional kind of ramifications of this, is how do you fare when you know the person you're deeply connected to now is also deeply connected to other people in their unique way. What are your thoughts
exactly
on that?
That's why I keep saying being honest. It's not just about being honest with the other person. It's truly about being honest with yourself. Because you can lie to yourself all day long and say, I'm good, I can do this. But it's a lie that you're telling yourself. You're creating this emotional distress within yourself, and you'll end up doing so much. There's a potential for damage that you're causing. And if that's the case, I would recommend that's when those are your indicators of, okay, I don't have the capacity to participate in in a relationship dynamic such as this. Mm-hmm. I'm truly someone who falls in the monogamy realm of things versus someone who is who can be involved in a polyamorous relationship.
Yeah. I love the exploration of this, is because this is something that may fall into people's laps, and those who are curious and have the courage to kind of explore this kind of relationship, if they come away saying, no, I've learned more about myself in that I'm monogamous all the way better. If not, you know, they might want to enjoy relationships such as polyamory or open relationships, you know, just kind of two-folder, depending on where you land. So one of the things about jealousy that I could imagine that comes up is that, where do I fit in with the other person? Jealousy really comes from a place within this context that we're talking about. It comes from a place of, like, I want to feel like I matter, that I'm important to you, and that you want me. And this idea that going into a relationship, like an open relationship that you've never been a part of or never even knew until this moment or this interaction, you immediately are gripped by that understanding or that experience of, am I good enough? Am I equal to the other person that this person loves or have a deep connection with? These are the things that go through my mind when it comes to the experience of jealousy for clients. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I typically like to distinguish jealousy from envy, because a lot of times we experience both and we don't recognize, like, how each play a different role in our experiences, especially in relationships, right? You could easily be envious of the other partner that you don't know, right? Especially if you pick up the phone and you call and the person who you're connected to doesn't answer, right? Or you're seeing them only once a week or twice a week. And that's a very clear cut boundary. Like, we can't see each other more than that, because, right, that's the dynamic that we've created. You could easily go into the space of being envious that the other gets to spend more time with this person. The other gets to have seemingly a deeper connection with this person, and that you want more time, you want more vulnerability, you want more connection. Like, those are some of the things that's important to be mindful of in the experience of, I'm a single person, male or female, I'm a single person who is dating someone who is in a polyamorous relationship. Mm-hmm. And how do you kind of wrap your mind around that idea of, I don't have this open amount of time, space, and connection? Like, it may seem limited from your perspective.
And the surprising thing is that it's not. I mean, when you're truly in that type of relationship, mm-hmm. It's deeply fulfilling. But if you're new to it and you've never done this, mm-hmm. and it just kind of falls into your lap, you're curious about that. And it's not even curiosity. You're worried about it, because this is how I build relationship with someone that I'm really attracted to. So this actually opens the door, Catherine, from what you said, that connection. Mm-hmm. It's emotional intimacy. That is one of the biggest hallmark in making this relationship more meaningful, is because, mm-hmm. as you said earlier about honesty, being honest with yourself, also when you are honest with the person that's, you know, introducing you to this type of relationship, that honesty extends to vulnerability, being able to say, wow, I feel deeply insecure that you're not accessible to me. All right. What were you thinking?
Exactly. I was going to say, definitely not just being honest with yourself, but then being able to share that honest insight with the other person. And that, definitely, I agree, it creates a deeper connection and a deeper sense of self-awareness, as well as a deeper sense of, like, connectivity within the relationship that you're building. Because then you are able to talk about these things that matter, these things that weave the the thread. These are the threads that make emotional connections more solid. And they're the building blocks that we don't tend to be mindful of and recognize. So yeah, definitely. Because then it's being able to not only share it, but also be able to manage the emotions and the disappointment that may come. Because you may definitely say, I want to spend more time with you. And a response could be, I don't have, I can't. Mm-hmm. Right? So then how do you then manage that, that disappointment, that sadness?
Feeling of rejection.
The feeling of rejection. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, though, this is a really good segue that while we're kind of putting down the foundational pieces for the individual who's walking into a polyamory relationship, being self-aware, asking the right questions, but also we're talking about emotional intimacy and what that means when we feel these very not so pretty emotions like jealousy. Boundaries is the next piece, because boundaries allow us to have a certain sense of predictability within our relationship. And so we as a couple get to establish what makes us our most authentic selves, and says certain things needs to be put in place in order for us to be and to continue to show up as ourselves. So boundaries are very important. When you think about, and when I listen to you, I think about how you really highlight, I want to see you, I want to be with you. Oh, I can't because you're, you know, in this scenario. Mm-hmm. So is there room for boundaries in that? And if so, what are some thoughts about boundaries that someone in this situation can put into place or ask about?
For themselves, it would be challenging because the person in that scenario, they're setting their boundaries, right? This is what our relationship is going to look like within this polyamorous dynamic. And what do you then do with your time when you're not in their presence, right? Mm-hmm. How do you then fill that time and space? What are you doing to fulfill yourself so that these emotions, these uncomfortable emotions that we've discussed, doesn't creep in and take over?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That going into that self-care piece could be important in terms of being able to accept those boundaries that are there and being mindful of what they are. That way, you don't push against the boundaries that are set up. And it may be new, it may feel uncomfortable, it may be, you may be defensive, and you may go to a space where you're like, you can't tell me when to call you. I'm going to call you when I want, right? 'Cause, and that's something that you may be new to you, or it could also be very refreshing, the predictability of it, like you said, the knowing that, okay, this is what I'm expecting. This is what is expected. This is exactly what I'm getting. That can also be very refreshing. So you're able to fully enjoy and take in those moments and create space that you get to miss the person. And you find ways to deal with that and soothe. And even explore for yourself if you are interested in dating other people as well, or if you're just going to continue being and building with this individual.
But it
leaves so much room for you to be able to explore within yourself what is it that you want from a relationship, and what does it look like for you as an individual?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that just occurred to me. One of the challenges that if you're new to this environment, and this is a challenge within the polyamory community, is when you when you grow in that relationship and start maybe bringing this person along into your inner circle.
Exactly.
Oh, because you also are confronted with other people's stereotypes, expectations, norms,
and beliefs.
Exactly. Yeah, and then you have to rifle through.
You do. Like, who do you tell anyone? Like, do you
disclose? That is a good question.
Yeah. Do you disclose whether or not, okay, yes, I'm single. And yes, the person that I'm here with, that's sitting right next to me, they're not. Right. Mm-hmm. And how do you navigate the opinions that come swirling around you when you do disclose that? Or do you simply let it be known that, okay, this is a casual thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. So definitely it's something to consider, something to think about. How do you disclose that information, and to whom do you disclose that to? Is it anybody's business?
And I think that it's very important that if you were to disclose to someone, it has to be someone that you trust, that can respect and hold the level of flexibility. Because if all you're going to go to is someone who's very rigid and who is limited on their understanding of non-traditional relationship, mm-hmm. meaning like what you said earlier about it's, you know, open relationship is just another type of relationship that condones infidelity. Mm-hmm. If that's the space that they're coming from, then you're not really helping or getting help on expanding your perspective. Mm-hmm. It in fact, you know, limits the perspective. Now, at the end of the day, you can come away saying, I don't want this kind of relationship. I feel maybe too much of the insecurities. I'm not able to experience joy for the partnership, the partnerships that my partner is in. Thus, I don't think I belong in this space. That's fine. But I think that it's very important that you know who you are going to confide in, because they can make or break the internal shame that also can come up. I mean, yeah, ooh, I saw a head nod.
Yeah, they can definitely make that space worsen, right? Because it also depends on where you are in your life, right? What is expected of you within your circle, or what society is saying that you're supposed to be in that stage of your life. So again, if you're single and you're dating someone, and yet everyone around you keeps asking you, when are you getting married? When are you getting married? And you find yourself in this dynamic of, I'm having this, I'm exploring the possibility of being in a polyamorous relationship. Or that's a hard pill to swallow for you to tell anybody that, like, especially that don't believe that it's an acceptable way of being. Having a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. It makes it a very uncomfortable conversation. It makes it potentially defensive and divisive mm-hmm. as well. Yeah. So, something to consider. And even another thing that comes up is when you're at a space of potentially meeting the other partners, the other connections. Like, as someone new, how do you handle that? What do you know about it? What are your expectations? What are your thoughts? What are your feelings around? Do I not? Mm.
I think you bring up a really good point, because like I made a distinction at the beginning, what is the kind of the subtle differences of open relationship versus polyamory? And, you know, some people are within the community, they might use it interchangeably, or they might, you know, really stick to the true value of each. So mm-hmm. I want you guys to think about the show Insecure. And I forgot Issa's best friend, the lawyer. What was her name? Do you remember her name? Molly. Yes. She was in a relationship with a man that she had, but went way back with, and he was in an open marriage where his wife was primary. They had an agreement to open up their marriage and have open relationship. And Molly, in many ways, kind of struggled, like we've talked about, you know, seeing her man with his wife, not knowing where to put those emotions. And then when they met in the show, Molly, you could tell she was really uncomfortable and awkward. And, you know, it's almost like, where do I put my hands? I don't know what to do with my hands, kind of nervousness. But I think that that's such a beautiful point, Catherine, about what does it mean to meet the person that you're with? Because if you're coming from a space of, say, polyamory, there is deep felt connections you can make within partnerships. Like, there's this word called compersion, and it is where you experience true joy over your partner's happiness with another, and that it, you want to start creating a community within the polyamory. You might not see that as much in the open relationship, but definitely in the polyamory. So depending on where your partner lands in that, they might want you to be in harmony, or in community is a better word, with the other connections and relationships that they have. Just in saying that, what are your thoughts on this, Catherine?
I was going to go back to time. I strongly believe, just in general, that it's important to know your capacity and give yourself time. So if the conversation does come up and the relationship does start to branch in that direction, you also have the power to take your time and to be ready before you do go down that route. And you also have the capacity to say, you know what, I actually would not want to meet them, or I do want to meet them, and this is what I need in order to feel comfortable.
Well, you've made it to the end of the episode, and I'm really glad you stuck it out, because for anybody who is looking for more information on consensual non-monogamy, I highly recommend Polysecure by Jessica Fern. And if you're interested in working with Dr. Catherine Redd, head on over to Psychology Today. You can also find her information on my website called intimacyinprogress.com. I put out new episodes every other week, so subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and I can't wait for our next chat. Talk soon.